All right. Thanks for coming to my session. I'm Billy Jo Nichols, and I promise you I'll quit. Anyways, wait a second. This is a very tender topic for me. I can't believe I'm crying. I have a whole box of tissue if you need one. But anyways, let's start with praying, because I need it to calm my heart, okay? Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the ladies who have come today, and I pray that you'll give me the words that you want me to speak. Thank you for the trials that we go through. And Lord, thank you for getting us through them. Thank you for our families and our friends that walk through us through everything that we do. And thank you for giving us your words so that we can learn how to trust in you. Thank you for my friends who are here today and the ladies who have come. Lord, I pray that I'll be a blessing to them. They're already a blessing to me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I didn't want to stop my prayer because I wanted to keep my eyes closed. Oh, I just have to tell you, I love coming to Ladies' Conference. I don't even know how many years I've come. But one of my favorite things to do is to watch the groups of ladies come. Years ago when I lived in Massachusetts, there was a group of ladies that would come every year. We would plan it. And if you weren't coming, I would say, why not? Because our... To tell you the truth, one of the funnest parts was going to the hotel afterwards and playing games. And then we would make sure that we had all of our favorites. But that is fun. I love to watch families get together. I love to watch groups of ladies get together and laugh and enjoy their time. One of my favorite things is to watch families because my family is so near and dear to me. I have three sisters. And I have three godly sisters. I've been blessed. I know not everybody gets that opportunity to have somebody in their life that walks through your journeys with you. But I have three sisters, a mom and a dad, and extended family. I have three sister-in-laws. I'm just so blessed to have the support I do. I've had some trials in my life that was not part of my plan. And I'm a big planner. I'm the type that likes to start at the beginning of every January. And even before that, I already start thinking about what's going to happen next year. And I write it down. I'm the type that likes to write down all my plans. And but if you had a need that day and I saw that you were floundering, I would go over, what can I do for you? I want to make sure that your need is met, too. I'm kind of a Martha, and I like Martha. And I like Martha's because I see what they do, but I know where... we hinder ourselves too. But I'm a planner. Here are all my planner books. I have my school planner. This has all three of my kids in here. This one I'm supposed to start planning and writing some trials that I've gone through to help me get through that. My sister-in-law and my sisters helped me through that. And that's supposed to be started this year. I have planners for Lee. I have planners for Kelly. I have planners for Rachel. Those are my three. I have three young adults. My youngest one just turned 18. I'm so thankful how God plans your lives and gives you exactly what you need and never gives you too much that you can't handle. My children... were given to me in a specific order. And God knew what I needed from each one of them. And they're all three encouragers to me. My youngest one is the last one in my house. She just turned 18. And I always tell her, I said, God gave me you last for a reason. And she has a calm spirit. She likes to be around me. She will come ask me advice. And then sometimes she'll say, Mom, that you're too loud. I am actually the quietest one of all three of my sisters. You can usually tell when the Harmon girls are around. You can usually hear us. And But anyways, I just love being around my family. I love watching families get together. We have one family. Everybody who goes to our church will know this. But after church, in the back of the church, they have a new grandbaby, new nephew. And he's the sweetest thing. And they'll all hover around that baby and just look at, there's a big circle. And I just love to watch them because they just enjoy each other. And they invite whoever wants to come in too. But I just love watching families. And I love that you guys are all here. And I hope that what I share with you can help you through the trials in life. My title is Trusting God. And when Charlene asked me to do this, I said, I've got this. She said, go pray about it. And I'm like, okay, I'll go pray. But I already know how to get through this or how to help you through a trial. But trusting God is a relationship. And I know some of the ladies have already talked about this. But when you're going through a trial, you need people around you. You need God's word. One of my planners is my Bible. It's very important to be reading God's word. I just passed up some scripture that I thought might help you through. I have a couple of them that I'm going to read, and I have one specifically that I want to read from my sister. I asked my sisters if they would text me what is the first thing they think about when they're trusting God, and I want to read what they said. I have to go in my phone, and I hope my fingers will allow me to do it right now, but I'm going to do that. But I have a sister-in-law that is a counselor, and she's good at it. And she always asks me, Billy, what are you doing right now? Are you writing things down? Are you, what Bible study are you in? How are you taking care of yourself? And I used to think that was a selfish thing to, you know, just to think about me. But I needed to do that so that I can get through some things. Just a second. I'm a recent widow, and it wasn't part of my plan to be a widow so soon. But my first year anniversary, I can't even remember how many years we've been married. It's 20-something, I'll just say that. My husband would tell you, but I can't right now. But my first year anniversary, my husband got really sick. I knew he would get sick, and I knew he had a disease, but he went into the hospital, and I remember the nurses and the doctors calling me up, and they had smiles on their faces, and I thought, oh, nothing's wrong with Jeff. And so we went up to the his room, and he had a rose for me because it was our anniversary. And then the doctors told me that he had a year to live. And I was just a young girl. I didn't know how to feel. I'm a delayed responder. I just say, okay, and then I have to process through everything. So I started realizing, oh, they just told me that I'm not going to have a family, that I'm not going to have children. And so I never doubt what God does, and I never give up on him. And it's hard to go through things, but it's much easier when you have family with you, when you have your church beside you. There's one verse I want you to read. I want to read to you. I wrote part of it. It's Hebrews 10:25. And I know that you usually read this in a different, I don't know if it's on your papers, I'm sorry. But it's the verse, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. I recognize how important it is for me. Sometimes I walk into Wednesday night service and I don't even want to be there. I'm so tired. But then I turn around and I look at who's there, and there's something about just you sitting in those seats that re-energizes me and says, this is what I'm here for. We're all here to worship God and to learn more about him. Those things are important. But I want to read to you what my sister-in-law and then what my sister read, typed to me when I asked them about trusting God. My sister-in-law said, trusting God's character over my feelings. Our feelings often deceive us. And sometimes the world deceives us into just trusting your own heart, but sometimes our heart deceives us. The Bible tells us that our heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. And we need to be careful about how we, what we follow, who we follow, and how our feelings lead us. But she said, trusting God's character over my feelings, realizing I need his strength because mine will never be enough. That is so true. I thought about this because I just want to, sometimes when I'm feeling my lowest and I don't know what to do next, or I know what to do next, but I don't want to do it. One of the things that was hardest for me was doing my taxes. That sounds silly, but it's true. I would put it off and put it off. I had everything together. I just had to make that phone call. But that was hard for me. I've never done that before. And then when I did, it was so easy. But a lot of times, this is really silly, but I have to do it. Because God is always with us. He never leaves us. But I had to recognize that sometimes I just need to sit down, and sometimes I'll even just sit on my couch and I'll just make myself vulnerable to God. Sometimes I don't even say a word, but I'll just ask him, please help me. He knows what I need help with. He knows what steps I need to be taken. I don't even have a conversation with him. I just need help. Sometimes I'll scoot over and make, you know, just envision him with me, because I just need that thought of my Savior next to me. Sometimes I've done this before. I usually don't do it when anybody's in the house, but I'll lay on the floor and I just allow myself to be vulnerable and say, I need you. I'll do it in the car. One of the best things that helps me through my times is music. At my husband's funeral, I asked, you guys are going to hear it, and it's just beautiful, but the song Thy Will, because it was God's will to take my husband's life at the time he did. I could make all the plans in the world, but am I willing to adapt to his? I gave everybody a card, and I made it this size because I wanted you to be able to stick it in your Bible if you want to, or just somewhere, because you need encouragement sometimes. It says, you have an agenda for your life and God has one. Are they the same? Mm-hmm. Our pastor said that the other day, and I said, I'm writing that down. Mm-hmm. I'm going to figure out how to work this into this, whatever I'm doing up here. But I hope I can be an encouragement to all of you. Sometimes we face trials. I don't know how much of my trial I'm going to share with you. But my desire is to help you allow God to work in your life. When he changes our plans, sometimes they're really hard. Sometimes he takes somebody away from you. Sometimes he moves you. Sometimes maybe there's a separation in your relationships. Maybe it's just struggle with money. I remember a couple years ago, I had to make a new budget. I thought, what in the world am I going to do? I have 1/3 of my budget to work with, but I still have all the bills. My sister is an encourager. She has deep trust in God. She never wavers. She says, God always has it for me. She says, Billy, let's make it out. Let's write everything you have down. And I said, okay, Karina, but I don't think I have enough money. She goes, that doesn't matter. God's going to take care of it. So we start writing things. I had half a page written out. This is the book. This is my brain. Everything's in here. I don't know why I have receipts in here. It's probably something I haven't recorded. That's frustrating. Do you ever? That's not the only pile, because I just made another pile at home. This is my brain. So we started writing things down, and half of my page was filled, and I wrote everything down. So every January, I write my checklist. It's February. I haven't made it yet. So I always check everything off. And she says, oh, look, Billy, you have a little bit of extra money left. And I said, I forgot the water bill, Karina. Okay, let's write it down. She goes, okay, you still have a little bit left. And then I came back later and said, "Oh, Karina, we just bought a table and I have to pay $30 a month on it." She goes, "Just write it down. You still have about $70 left. Look, you have a savings." And then I came back and I said, "Karina, I forgot about this other bill." And she goes, "You know what, Billy? You get to trust God for that one." She says, "You get to trust God." She says, "Isn't this exciting?" And I said, "Yes." And I said, "I might be coming to you for a little bit more." She thinks it's exciting to trust God, and it is. The other day, last year, I have two kids in college, and I just don't know how God ever pays my bills. But he always does. I remember a few years ago, I got a check in the mail. I moved from Massachusetts to Connecticut. How they found me, I don't know. I got a check in the mail for $1,000. I had overpaid a dental bill. This was like 7 years ago. And they're paying me. And I'm like, "Oh, I can pay a bill." So I wrote it off. I call my sisters. I tell them. I said, "Oh, isn't that exciting?" "Yes, we're all excited about it." And then as months go on, this is when my money's starting to dwindle down, and I get a little nervous. And I said, no, I didn't say anything yet. And then I got another check in the mail a few months later. I can't remember what it was. And I'm like, "Oh my goodness, that'll pay another bill." So I paid my bill. And then about a month later, I'm like, "God, does anybody owe me any money?" And that week, I got $25 from an insurance and then $25 from, I'm like, I get to go grocery shopping. I can buy whatever I want to this time. So God just always takes care of my bills. Last year, I just like sharing the things because I decided, I used to tell Jeff when he would worry about the bills, I said, "You know what? God always takes care of our bills. Don't even worry about it. Even if we have to pay this much and we still owe this much, God still took care of it. We're good for the month." And so now it was on me. And I was thinking, you know what? God has always taken care of bills. He always will. So last year, last school year, not this year, I have two kids in college, and I have one at the Christian school. And I'm going to sit down again because this was really hard for me to do. I've never asked God to pay for anything really, really big. I always thought, "Oh, take care of this. Please take care of this." I always mean this or that. So I said, "God, will you pay one of my school bills?" And I'm like, no, I didn't pray that with trust. It was just words out of my mouth. I said, "Okay, God, will you take care of my school bills?" I'm like, nope. I'm just saying these words. I'm not even putting my heart in it. I'm not even talking to him. I'm just saying words. And then finally, I just slumped my shoulders and I said, "Lord, will you please take care of one of my school bills? I don't care which one it is. I would like it to be the big one." And then I said, "I'm leaving it there." So a few months went by and I went, wait a minute. I asked God to take care of one of my school bills. I'm not going to worry about it. He's going to do it. I prayed for it. I've left it with him. He's going to take care of it. And then another month went by. Like, man, this is when it gets tight. But God will do it in his own time. And God sent a man that said, "I want to help your family out." And he sent just enough to pay one of my kids' school bill. I think it was a little over $2,000. I was so excited. And I'm like, God just answered my prayer. He said, "You can do whatever you want to with it." And I put it on her school bill. It was just the most exciting thing. I called my sisters, rejoiced. I told the school staff, I'm like, my school bill was paid. I'm so excited. But another time, God had taken care of us. I always knew that my husband would die because they told me he would, and he always said he was sick when we were dating. I didn't know what it was, and he always seemed so healthy. I remember our church going through that time and praying, and my mom coming out and helping me through that time, you know, of just being a young girl. Maybe I'm gonna move back home. And I thought, man, it was just a strange time for me. And last year when I got the phone call that my husband was in the hospital and I was on the road coming back from Pennsylvania, I was on the road and they said he has 24 hours to live. And I'm like, no, I've heard that before. I'm gonna go see him, everything's gonna be fine. So Troy, my brother-in-law, went with me. I was a little bit worried. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know who to call. Do you guys all have a matriarch in your family? They take care of everything. If something bad happens, they always share the bad news. I have a sister like that. So I called my sister and I said, they said he's gonna die, but I don't think he's going to. And then I called his father and I said, but they always say this. You know, every new doctor, he says, yep, you have this disease, you're going to die. So I'm on my way home. I'm a little nervous, but not really, because I've heard this before. I get my brother-in-law and we go to the hospital and we see Jeff in the bed. He has tubes in him, you know, helping him breathe. And we looked at the doctor and we said, okay, when is he gonna wake up? And they just looked at me and they said, he's not waking up. So that kind of stunned me. I still am not believing this. And Troy said, no, when is he gonna wake up? I said, he's not gonna wake up. I don't even think he was alive at that moment. I think the tubes were keeping him alive. And I don't even know what I did at that time, because you know when you go in and out of the tunnel when somebody's talking to you? It was kind of like that. And I'm like, who do I tell? What do we do? How do we get our family here? Is he going to be alive long enough for my children to see him? I just didn't know what to do. But then I realized God's taking him now. And I'm okay with that, because God has given us a good life. He's brought us through a hard time. God has changed. He's rewriting my story. And I'm okay with that. But it's hard to walk through things. I want to tell you about, you know, Esther in the Bible. She reminds me of a gentle, quiet, obedient, meek spirit. I have a paper in here, The Fruits of the Spirit. And when I think of meekness, I think of Esther. How she had a huge job to do. Basically, the Jews were in her hand. Not really, they were in God's hand. But I think of Esther, and I think of her as when she's walking through her trial, and when she knows she has to go before the king, I picture her walking slowly and quietly. And sometimes when you go through a trial, you just want to get through it really fast. But through my trial, my three young children, they're in high school, they're just starting college, they're graduating, they're making new friends, they're dating. I don't want to hurry up anything with my children, and I have to live in the moment but walk through a trial at the same time. So Esther is a good example of going through a trial, but she doesn't hurry through it. She's waiting for God's timing. And I picture her as walking quietly with meekness, and there's a beauty about her. One of my prayers that I would always pray, Lord, help me walk with grace. I want others to see you through me. Sometimes that's hard to do. And when people ask me how you're doing, and then I realize they're asking me how I'm doing because you're a recent widow, or I know it's hard to raise your children. I know it's hard to do things alone. But when they ask me that, and when they stop and wait for the answer because of their love and the time that they spent to talk to me through that, I'm fine. I'm good. I'm okay where I'm at. But when you surround your when you surround yourself with others and allow others to be, to come in. Do you know what I mean when I say come in? When you allow others, when you allow yourself to be transparent, or when you say, I'm not having a good day. No, I'm not because I miss my mom. No, I'm not because I miss my child. No, my child is sick. I'm not having a good day. Those things need to be shared with friends and allow them to hug you through it. The best friends are the ones who just come and say, how are you doing? And they don't ask for a lot of details. And they love you through it. I'm going to tell you what my sister wrote to me the other day. My sister is a godly, she's a pastor's wife in Montana. And when I sit with her, there's a piece about her. Melody's the oldest, I'm the youngest. So the youngest and the oldest don't always have the best friendships, I guess. And we're only 5 years apart, and we would fight. And she was kind of mean when she was a teenager. And to know her now, and the love and the sweetness that she shows for others as a pastor's wife, I wish you guys knew my sisters. They're awesome. They help me get through so much. I got to open my Bible. I can't read the little words anymore because I chose not to get bifocals. So I have to go to my Bible app and bring up her verses. And then I'm going to tell you what she said. So I'm going to go to Psalms. If you want to write these down, these are awesome verses. These are two that she memorized. First one I'm going to read is Psalms 28, verse 7. Let me get to it. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusteth in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart gracefully rejoiceth, and with my song I will praise him. I don't know about you, but when you're going through a trial, music is a healer. When I first came to this church, I cried a lot. My family needed a lot of healing. I might share a little bit of that with you in a minute, but let me finish this. I'm going to read Psalms 143, verse 8. I like this verse. That's why I saved it for last. I got to do this. Cause me to hear your loving kindness in the morning, for in thee I do trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. The reason why I like this verse is because it says, cause me to. So when you have to cause somebody to do something, sometimes you have to get their attention. And for my husband and me, we were separated for a little while. God did that for a reason. And we did a lot of healing through that time. We learned to love each other. We learned to unconditionally. We learned to listen to each other. But most importantly, we learned to seek God. We both understood if we did not meet God up here, everything else will crumble. Mm-hmm. So his journey was to meet God and become closer to him and listen to him and be obedient to him. My journey was to do the same. And as we did it together, all the walls that I had built up started to crumble down, and I had some strong walls. Sometimes it's not easy to be a good wife, especially when somebody else, your husband, is struggling through other things. And we were struggling, but we didn't know it. We didn't talk to each other about it. We learned how to talk to each other. And it was hard when God took his life, because I wanted to experience the love that we should have had for each other. But God said, no, Jeff is exactly where I want him to be. I want him. And he took him. So at his funeral, they sang the song, Thy Will. And it was God's will to take my husband at that time. It was almost, I told my family, I said, it's almost like God said, he's finished. He's fought the fight. He's exactly where I want. Now I'm going to take him. And that was a rejoicing time for me. God was satisfied. You're where you need to be right now. So he took him. My kids struggle through it. We cry. The other day, my daughter, I went downstairs and I said, what is wrong? And it's very hard for her father not to be at her games, for her father not to go to her graduation, for her father not to be cheering her on in life. But the other day, I've been in a rut lately. Sometimes your mind gets confused with your trial. I work a job and a part-time job. So when I come home from my job, a lot of times I'll go on the computer and I'll just, it's something that I could do that is kind of like mindless work. I should be listening to the podcast. I should be listening to music, but I don't always choose that. A lot of times I'll binge watch TV. So I get in my ruts and then I get tired and then I go to bed. So I get in a rut. The other day, my girls encouraged me so much. I've been waiting for my middle child to come out of her shell and allow herself to be vulnerable so God can use her. I prayed for a friend at college, and she got that friend. And that friend does not let anything, she does not let judgment go. She does not allow Kelly to miss a beat, I guess you would say. But the other day, when she was here for Christmas, I went downstairs to say goodnight. Sometimes I just want to go to bed. I don't want to talk to anybody. I just want to lay my head down. I know they're peacefully downstairs. They're having a good time. I love it when my kids are underneath the same roof. I feel like we're all safe and we're where we need to be. And I'm satisfied, but I have to force myself to go make conversation with my kids. It's hard for me sometimes. I'll watch my sister-in-law. She could talk to any of the teens. She'll ask them, oh, so you went out for ice cream. What flavor did you get? I'm like, who has that? She does, and they want to tell her. What else did you get on it? What did you eat before that? What did so-and-so get? And then she just digs and digs until she gets closer, and she builds a relationship and conversations. I envy her. My sister's the same way. I'm trying to think of something that she does. Oh, what color? Let me see your toes. You just got them done. What picture did you get on it? They'll ask all these questions, and I'm like, oh, I just know they went. Did you have a good time? Good. I'm not very creative. Anyways, they're good at getting to know the girls. So I went down. So it was hard for me. It's hard for me to make conversation like that because to me that's small talk. I do want to get into their lives, and that's how you get them to trust you. That's how you get them to open up. But the other day I went downstairs and I said, I'm going to go tell them good night. I got to tell you something first. If you have young kids, and you pray with them at night and you kiss them goodnight, don't ever, ever stop. I remember getting too busy with life, doing too much at church, doing too much at school, and not giving back to my family. I would get very tired at night, and I would stop. I stopped going in and kissing my kids and praying with them at night. And I miss that. And it's hard to get it back. Never stop. Always kiss them. Even if they don't want it, grab them. If you pinch them on the bum, do it. Do all those fun things. Never stop because they want you to do that. Anyways, I went downstairs and I said, good night, girls. I love you. And they were both sitting peacefully on their beds. There were no electronics on. And they both had a devotional book out and their Bible open. And I'm like, I need to go do that. I need to go get closer with God right now. but they were building a relationship. They had said they're going to start their devotions. I hadn't seen it done. And that night I was just like, I'm going upstairs and I'm reading, even if it's just a few verses, I'm getting my devotions done. But they were such an encouragement to me. I want to read to you what my sister said the other day. This is the oldest sister, the one who I used to fight with. My sisters and I, we're on different time zones, all of us. One is 3 hours different, so it's very hard to connect. My mom and dad is on the three-hour time zone. I have two sisters on the three-hour time zone. My mom and dad's on the three-hour time zone, and then the other one is 1 hour. But she's always traveling. We communicate the most. But anyways, do you guys all text? Do you guys have a group chat with your, what do you call it? A group text? It's awesome to have with your family. So we'll text every once in a while, and sometimes I'll text my family, and I'll say, Rachel's having a bad day, will you please pray for her? Or I'll say, we had a great day today, because when you tell somebody you've had a bad day, make sure you tell them when it's been good. Sometimes I forget to tell the good stuff. When I talk to my parents at school, and I'll say, you know what, they've just been ornery lately, or they've done this and this and this. They hear that a lot, especially when they're a booger. And then I remember my sister saying, everybody always tells me everything bad about Dylan. I already know that. I want to hear something good. So I always try to send a cute picture, or they've shared today, or, you know, something like that. Anyways, I gotta put the right sister in. Here we go. There it is. My sister said, I'll be praying for you in a workshop on Saturday. Every day, I have to put my trust in the Lord first thing in the morning. Mine is usually at night. So I can receive strength and guidance for whatever I will have to face that day. I memorized Psalm 143:8. I just read that to you. Cause me to, that one. A couple years ago when I was going through a hard time. And now I include it in my prayers every morning. Knowing that God is near and a very present help causes me to depend and lean on him even more. He is my only true help and strength. And then I read Psalms 28:7. Notice how trusting precedes strength and rejoicing, produces strength and rejoicing. And then I have to read this part because this is near and dear to me. I love you, and I've seen you loving and trusting God in the hard times as well as the good. And I just want to share my heart, because some people are hurting. I don't know if you are. I don't know what you've gone through. But I know we all have some sort of hurt. But getting closer to God is very important. And we need to seek to get closer to him more than we do our own friends. So when I told Charlene, says, I don't know if I said this to you, but I was thinking, I've got this. Trusting God, I've had a lot of experience through it, and I want to share it. I've had a lot of hard times, and God has always got my back. But it wasn't me who's got this. So on the back of your card, it says, God. It was supposed to have a little colon there. I've got this. God has always got it for us. So through your hard times, oh, and there's always time periods that we don't know. I have a verse I want to share with you. This is kind of hard, though, for us to wait for. And he said, oh, it's Acts 1:7. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father hath put in his own power. Verse 8 says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Man. She was talking about the Holy Ghost today, and I'm like, oh man, a lot of us don't realize the power of the Holy Ghost in our lives. If you're a believer, he's within you. But sometimes we don't allow him to use us. One time when I was first married, I'm always very nervous. I don't know why, to share the salvation story to somebody. But I used to work with a girl, and she would ask me questions. I was always so nervous. And one night I said, Lord, the Holy Spirit has talked to me because I don't know how to witness to her. And she would ask me question after question, and I always had the answer. And I was so excited, I went home, and I said, Jeff, I just witnessed to Donna. I said, it was the best conversation we've ever had. He says, what did you say? I said, I don't know. I said, but it was good. And then I tried to tell him, and I'm like, no, maybe it was this. And I said, man, it just flowed. He said, Billy, that was the Holy Spirit, not you. I said, I don't remember anything I said, but she was ready to receive. And I remember going to her house and giving her a Bible. I was so excited about it. But sometimes I'll be going to school. This last year, I didn't know how I was going to start school. And I loved last year's class. They were full of excitement. And this one little boy, he would peek over my desk, and I knew what he was going to do when I turned to my back. And he would jump out of his chair, and he would run around a circle and sit down. Like, you didn't see that, did you? But I always knew what he was going to do. He was a little booger, but I loved it. I just had a lively group last year. And this year came in, and I thought, how am I going to love these students? I just got rid of my fun class. I loved them. I cried on kindergarten graduation because I was going to miss them. And when I would leave class, I remember when I left for after Jeff's death for my little 3 weeks away from them, and they would say, when's Mrs. Nichols coming back? And I was like, so they just had a special part in my heart. So this year's class came in, and I said, I don't know if I could love them like I loved the last class. But they were just exactly what I needed. They're a calm class. They're very smart. They love to talk to me. They're not too rowdy. That's exactly what I needed this year. I just needed their love, and God gave them to me. So when I look into their faces, can we come in the classroom? Yes, come in. Hi, Mrs. Nichols, do you want to see? And I just ooh and ah over all their little nappy little toys they show. I'm like, can I pet it? And I'm like, and you know, it's been this and this. And I'm like, does your mom ever put him in the washer? No. Okay. But they're just the sweetest. God gave them to me. And they just sometimes feel me so much. I just love them. I have a couple more things I want to show you, but let me look. Oh my goodness. I didn't think I would talk this long. I feel like I've been yakking at you, and I'm sorry. All right. Just a second. Give me a second, okay? I have a couple things. Do you guys all use Google Map or GPS and things like that? I live by that. And when I got here, I didn't know any turns or any roads. I know what road I live on because it's my address. And I could say it's right across the street from the church, but it's very hard for me to tell you directions. So everywhere I'd go, I put everything in a map. And I would have to do all the driving. I drove my son to school. I took Kelly to school. And that was scary to me because I used to drive 2 hours and I'd be tired. Jeff always did all the driving. So it was my turn to start driving, and I would get my maps out, and you know how it shows you the road that you're on, and it shows you all the little side roads? Well, there's a certain time at night, it goes black, saying, it's nighttime. Well, I know that, but I need to know what the side road's on, because I'm looking for a place to get off, and I don't want to get off on a one-way street that never gets back to the highway. So that is always my fear. So I like to, our life is kind of like that. We're using a map, like the Google map. We know where we're heading, but we don't know all the little side roads that are going to bump us. We don't know where God's going to take us next. We don't know what trial's going to hit us. We don't know what's around the corner. God doesn't promise us an easy path, but he promises, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. God has step-by-step directions, and I wish I knew what they were because I would write them down and I would check them off every time I came to one, and then I would say, okay, this is the next one. I would used to joke and tell my friends, when God gives me a trial, I'm going to say, okay, and I'm going to be obedient right away so it'll be over with. But some of them take a little bit longer to get through. And my last trial, my separation between my husband and me, and us working on our relationship.
Sorry, Billy.
That's okay. If you have a separation between you and God, just work on your relationship, and God is always right there. I still do this. I was really nervous to talk to you because all of you probably know the verses that I've shared. All of you have probably are faithful in your churches and know what God wants you to do, and you're probably heading down that path. But sometimes I just need to know that he's right there. And sometimes I said, you got this? Because I want God to take it for me. I told, this is one of the hardest things for me to do. I'm a little bit type A, but I'm not vocal about it as much. My kids will tell me, Mom, you always say that you're going to show us how to do something, and you do it all. You take over. I'm like, okay, I'm going to work on that. And then they'll give me that look, like, you're doing it again. Okay, I'll back off. So last year, my kids are young adults, so I want them. I can tell them how to love God. I can tell them they need to go to church. I can tell them you need to read your Bible. I can tell them you need to go get your job, and you need to start at 8 o'clock in the morning. Don't start at 3 because everybody's already on their way and that's too late. Show them, you know, I could tell them all the rules that they need to do, but I want them to have that desire in them. And there's a point, and I know people tell me this all the time, but there's a point where you have to let go and let them do it. One of the hardest things that I had to trust God to do was to take my children. And then when I was, okay, I'll tell you what I did. So I said, God, I need you to take over. I want you to take my children and do with them as you please. And like, but I don't want them to fall away from you. I don't want any hard trials for them. And I went, wait a minute, because I hate it when they struggle through something. I think I cry more than they do. And then I said, oh, no. It was that thing again where I had to stop myself, and I'm like, no. God, I need you to take my kids. I need you to take over and do with them what you please. And then sometimes I take them back, and I'm like, nope, I'm going to give them right back to you. And then I take them back again, and then I give them back to God. That's really hard for me to let go. And they're in a good spot right now, so I'm rejoicing. But I don't know what's going to hit them down the road. My kids have talked to me about different trials that I would never share with anybody. It's between us. And they'll say, Mom, thank you for responding with a quiet heart and not getting mad at me. And I said, I've always prayed that if you go through a hard time, if you do something that is not right with God, that I would always be there for you because I want to walk with you through that. It is very important for us to respond the right way to our children and let them know that we love them, because sometimes it's very hard and sometimes it just makes you mad. I don't have a strong, well, I do have a strong will child. She's just quieter about it. But deep inside, it's hard for her to be told what to do. And but now she's learning that. But anyways, giving your kids to the Lord is really hard. But God promises, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. He's not going to lose that. She's not going to lose that. They know where they came from. And just always be there for them. I hope I do that all the time. And you know what? And then you're going to have grandkids. Then you're going to have great-grandkids, and they're not going to do things the way you want them to or how you do it. My dad always says, well, that's not the way we did it. I'm like, I know, Dad, but this is how we're doing it. And really, they're not doing it wrong. You know, he hates that we have phones and that we do this. I'm like, Dad, just so you know, I usually do this. Just so you know, Dad, I'm checking the weather. Because you asked, I wonder what it's going to be like tomorrow. Just so you know, Dad, you were talking about that car you used to drive. I want to show you a picture. I always want to show him all these things. Just so you know, Dad, I'm working right now. You know, just all these little things, because he hates it. I want to put them away. So we do. I have one last thing I want to tell you. Going back to our kids, always remember, you know the rowdy ones around the church that always get in trouble? The ones who are loud and who kind of take over everything? Those are usually the ones that God uses too. I wrote a few things about some Bible. I think just men, maybe some wives are in there too, that God has used. God has used failures. Moses felt like a failure, like he couldn't do anything. He's used liars. Abraham's family, they all deceived each other. If you go down the line, each one of those children, they deceived somebody in their family or some other person. He used King David. He started out strong and did a lot of sinning that we would never accept from others. But God received him back. A lot of them are messy like us. Some of them are broken. He chose disciples who we would never think that would be followers or leaders. God always takes care of it all for us. And if anything through my trials is I've learned to talk to him. It wasn't always hard for me to trust him, but it's been hard to wait for him. There's a lady in our church back home who prayed for her husband for 40 years. 40 years to get saved. And I remember coming home from college one day and I said, Mom, who's sitting by Mrs. Biargo? She says, I forgot to tell you. That's Mr. Biargo. He got saved. I'm like, what? 40 years. She was very active in the church. Always there. Never miss a Sunday. Never miss a service. Always at ladies' Bible study. Everything. And then, same Sunday, same hour, I saw Tracy Rogers walk in, and I said, Mom, who's walking behind Tracy Rogers? She goes, didn't I tell you? That's her husband. He got saved. She prayed for him. As far as I know, I only knew her for about 10 years, but she prayed. He wanted nothing to do with God. It's just exciting to see God work in his time. Very hard to wait. I just want to encourage you to share amongst yourselves and to encourage each other. I'm working on giving time to others. That last session that Kelly taught on was very good for me because I need to give myself, because I always want to do my agenda, my own thing. But I need to give my time for others, and I need to say, be that person that says, what can I do for you, and do it. A lot of people aren't going to come back to you. I won't come back. If somebody says, just let me know if you need any help. I'm not going to tell anybody what I need because I always think I can do it on my own, or I think I have the power to do it. So allow those people to work in your life, and then you do the same in return. I didn't say everything the way I wanted to, but I just wanted to share my heart a little bit, and I don't want anybody to ever be afraid to share with others. It's hard sometimes to trust God and to see what He's doing. But your church family, and hopefully you have family members who know the Lord and who want to share with you. I've been very blessed. Sometimes I think I don't know how people do it, but I'd never have to do it alone. And now as my young children are, as my older children, my young adults are growing up, I get to do it with them. I get to experience with them. It's very exciting to see how God works in our lives. It's very scary sometimes to see how God works in our lives. But don't be afraid. Always remember to trust. I know mine was the jitters. I never talked about that. But sometimes when I'm going through something, I feel like this inside. I'm like, I know, but I know I can do it, because God never gives you what you can't handle. He even promises that in the Bible. But sometimes I just try to be like Esther, and I walk through my path, and I just wait for God to tell me, and I'm like, I can't wait. Am I almost there? Am I almost there? And sometimes you feel like you never get there, but you will. So I don't know if I've helped or encouraged you, but I just always want you to remember to put your trust in God. He's there for us. And never stay the same. Always be searching. If you see somebody, I just want to take a minute. My father was very faithful. My father grew up in a horrible, horrible home. His parents, when he was a young age, would leave him and his siblings for months at a time. They abused him. I don't know how he came to know the Lord, but at age 13, he did. And our pastor was like a father to him. Every Sunday morning before church would start, he'd go have coffee with Pastor. And I'm like, oh, let's go and have coffee with Pastor. I'm like, I wonder what they talk about. And one day he says, I just ask him father questions, because he didn't have a father to talk to. And he mentored him through rearing us. Because technically, in the world's eyes, my dad should be an abuser. My dad should have left my mom. But he didn't. He brought us up. My memories of my dad are him reading his Bible in his chair. Does everybody have that chair at home? Mine's blue, doesn't look pretty, it's a second hand, and I just love it. So today, I went and sat in it. And it was just a good memory and a good place for me to go to the Lord and to pray and to calm my fears, because I was so nervous to come up here. I didn't say everything the way, look at my mess. Yeah, up here. Those are my plans. But don't be afraid to rewrite. I have one book I want to share the title with, and I'm going to read it, and I have not read it, and it's in our bookstore right now. Our pastor is an amazing writer. He's an amazing speaker, but he can write. And in a second, I'm going to give you that name of that book, and I just wrote it down. I am going to read it. My friend who lost her husband unexpectedly said this is what helped her through it. It's called Off Script. Has anybody read that in here? I have not read it yet. What to do when God rewrites your life. But you should get it. That is my new thing. For 4 years, I haven't read a book because my mind hasn't been in the right place. And I'm going to start. I guess that will be on my New Year's resolution list. And that's what I need to do to better myself. So anyways, I hope I've encouraged you a little bit. And that's all I have to share with you. Let's pray, and then we'll leave. And thank you. Dear Lord, thank you for loving us. Thank you for always being next to us when we need you. Lord, if there's ladies that are hurting today, I pray that they'll put their trust in you and just allow you to walk through life with them. I know you had to hit me over the head to get my attention. Lord, I'm so thankful for the trials you've brought me through. I'm so thankful for what I've learned. I'm such a happier person knowing you. I love you, Lord. And I pray that you'll just help me to be a better person and to share you with others. In Jesus' name, amen.